You're a licensed architect, so what made you want to draw and write comic books instead?
I've actually just wanted to be in comics all my life, it turns out. I guess in the early years, it was just a hobby for me. And it was a hobby that I took quite a bit slightly seriously. But my parents actually forced me to take up architecture in college because back in the 80s, the idea of actually earning a living through art was very limited. They thought if I took up fine arts, that would mean painting, and painting means starvation. They had no idea that art could be applied to lots of things like advertising and so on. And being young, and I didn't know better, I allowed myself to be coerced. Since I also want to grant the wishes of my parents, didn't want to disappoint them. So I took off architecture, finished it, got a license. But in the meantime, I was drawing all this stuff in the back of my notebooks, drawing, sending off submissions to Marvel as early as 1986. And so it went until I was finally able to get a job.
Okay, what was the first comic book you read that went to you, wow? You know, that this was something that you think that you thought that maybe you'd want to do for the rest of your life, or at least a part of your life?
The very first comic book that I actually read that inspired me to draw comics was, I think, An Adventure of Tintin. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's actually pretty big here in the Philippines, the Tintin books, and still available at our bookstores. And I was able to find a couple of those volumes, and I was very inspired to draw out one of the stories, one of the covers at the back of the book. And there's a Tintin in Tibet, and I thought, what kind of story would Tintin in Tibet be? So I speculated in my mind what kind of story that is, and I drew it out, and that was my very first comic book that I drew. I think I was about around maybe 7 or 8 years old.
Wow.
So after that, I just kept on drawing as a hobby.
Okay, you spent a big part of your career inking for Marvel and DC on, you know, some of their most popular titles, Wolverine, Superman, things like that. When did it get to that point that you were feeling, you know, complacent and wanted to move on?
I started inking for U.S. companies in 1995, beginning with a small company called Entity, and then I met Will Sportacio, so I fell into working with him at Image, Wildstorm actually, and then that brought me to Marvel and into DC. I was pretty much enjoying inking for a while. And in around 2005, I was still enjoying inking pretty much over the Angel Fantasy U. But at the same time, I was getting my own stories in my mind. I was developing these stories I wanted to tell. I tried to tell those stories at the same time I was inking, but I didn't have enough time to really think about it, to write it, to draw it. So I thought I'd retire for a while. Back then I said I would retire for good, but this is for me so that I could really concentrate. But I fully intended to come back eventually after I was able to release all these kinds of creative energies inside my head.
Okay, so what was it like to really just to leave those big companies and start, like, you know, your own stuff? Was it difficult at first? Did you have any doubt?
I think it was very risky for me because everyone knows how difficult it is to get a job, not only in comics but pretty much everywhere. So I was pretty much giving up something that was significant living wise. But I thought it was more important for me to be able to express myself artistically in other ways, because I felt that it would ensure a much more successful future for me, hopefully, fingers crossed. And it would opened more doors for me as a creator in comics. Although it was very financially difficult for us, for the family, during those times, it turns out it was the right decision for me because later on, the doors that opened for me is actually turns out quite beneficial in the long run.
Okay, so how hard was it during that time? I mean, I know in the back of Elmer, it says that, you know, you gave up a lot of your savings and things like that, but just, I mean, how did it really affect your life on a day-to-day basis?
It got to the point that we were counting coins, and we were looking at old pockets, at old bags, and stuff like that, just to find if we could find some coins left over from the old days. And I was approaching friends if I could borrow money from them. I didn't do that too often because I don't really like borrowing money from people. I sold original artwork that I did for Marvel and DC, so that got us by for a while. But we didn't sleep. The great thing is I have a very supportive wife, and that we did not lose our sense of humor during this time. Whenever we got broke, we just laughed at it, and we just continued on with our lives, eating instant pan noodles. Enough for us.
Was there ever a time when you were really down and she kind of, you know, put you on the right track?
Yeah, there were a few times that I couldn't hide how difficult it was. And yes, she would reassure me. I think one of the reasons why I was so depressed, because I didn't want to let her down. I didn't want to let my family down, my parents. And she assured me that I was doing the right thing, and that eventually things would turn out okay. And it turns out after a while, just being patient, kept on working hard, things did become really great, because in I could proudly say that the year 2010 was one of the best years ever in my life.
So considering that, I mean, how did you come up with the concept of Elmer? I mean, I remember when SLG had sent me the book, and I saw the cover, and I'm like, what is this? What is this about? So can you tell us?
I'm actually quite aware of the initial impression that the book is getting from people. They don't seem to get, they seem to have, it seems to confuse them as to what it is. Because back in 2005, when I was asked the question of what I will be doing outside of inking for Marvel, I said, I was planning on doing a comic book about talking chickens. And the guy interviewing me said, no, really, what are you really planning to do?
Oh, man.
So I didn't take it seriously. But in my mind, I was pretty serious that this was what I wanted, because I was able to find an idea they thought would springboard into something bigger. The idea that what if chickens became intelligent? This really came from me observing chickens in our neighborhood. And the chickens are actually very plentiful where I am. They're always around me. They're always outside. They're always making lots of noise. And whenever I go out of the house, which is every day, I would see them milling around, looking at me, very paranoid, very skittery, agitated, and wide-eyed and surprised all the time. And I was wondering, what could they be thinking when they see me? What could be going on in their little tiny minds? What if they could talk? What if they could think? What would they say to me? That pretty much is the origin of Elmer in my mind. It's me thinking, what if they could really think? What would they say to me?
Okay, what was your favorite part of putting this whole story together?
The favorite part was realizing that it was an idea that gave birth to other little small ideas that complemented the whole thing. Even as I was finishing writing Elmer, all these other sub ideas kept speaking out because in the world that I was able to develop with Elmer, anything could really happen in him, practically anything. I just concentrated on one family, but there are millions and millions and millions of chicken families all over the world experiencing the same thing in different circumstances. So they have their own stories, they have those other stories. So I have lots and lots and lots of ideas, but I thought I could not put them all in there because I didn't want to dilute the idea. So I just decided to concentrate on just one family. And that was a thrilling part for me, knowing it was the realization that this could be something good because I felt good about it and I was getting lots of ideas. And as I said, I just focused on one family so that I could just follow just one narrative so it won't be confusing for me.
Okay, how did it feel, you know, to really kind of let the chains off? Instead of just inking, you were drawing and writing at the same time. Did you feel like it was a more liberating experience than, you know, just inking by itself?
It is really a very liberating experience for me. It's actually quite an addicting experience for me. Even before Elmer, I was already doing my own stories. I was doing my stories since 1994 with this title called Wasted. It was actually my very first graphic novel, which came out finished in 1998 as a book. And it was the first thing I've done. And it was finished during the time I was starting inking for the big companies. It's a really different feeling because when I'm inking, I actually enjoy working with a penciler, trying to bring out the potential in his artwork. But it's still some other guy driving the car. But when it's me writing and drawing, it's me driving the car, and it's me telling how the story would go. As opposed to inking, I'm part of a larger group of creative people bringing out one story. For me, to be able to write and draw something and create something of my own, it's actually very rewarding for me, creatively. Because to have people come up to me and say, those characters and those settings existed in their imaginations, they lived in their imaginations, it's for me a very rewarding thing.
Okay, what has been kind of the most memorable experience for you while putting this book together? Was there ever a moment where you were just sitting by and saying, wow, this is really coming together, or just that moment where you felt like everything was going to be okay with the series?
I guess I felt that way ever since I was able to finish the first 26 or so pages. When I was able to read everything from page 1 to page 26, I realized there's something here. There's really, I feel good about this. And so I thought, at first I approached it like I would normally do an independent comic book here in the Philippines. I would photocopy it. That's how it is here in the Philippines now. It's pretty much a self-published industry. All those big companies in the past that produced millions of comics pretty much on a monthly basis are all now gone. And what's left are people who want to do comics on their own independently. And because they don't really have any money, they just photocopy it and sell it at local conventions. And that was the thing I thought I would do with Elmer. I would just photocopy it. But after I finished the first 26 pages, I realized the story somewhat deserves a bit more better format than that. So I took the risk of actually approaching a printer to publish 1,000 copies. And it was quite surprising for me because even though it was a confusing concept, confusing idea at first, it pretty much sold out in a couple of months. So that's when I knew it was something really good.
Okay, who's your favorite character in the series? I know it's a difficult question to ask, considering, you know, how many cool characters there are.
I guess I have a kind of an affinity for Jake. Jake is pretty much me, because like Jake, I'm a ranter. I love to rant. If you happen to visit my blog at comicable.com, you would see that I really love to rant a lot about lots of comic book issues here in the Philippines and lots of other things that concern me. So all of that kind of fire and anger comes pretty much from me, of Jake's and the journey he takes. So pretty much Jake, yeah. He's my favorite character in that book.
Okay, as far as the art style in the book, it's just very different from other comic books. How would you describe it to someone that's never seen it before?
When looking at my own artwork, it's very hard for me to describe it because I'm not really conscious of what kind of style I'm using. I'm just drawing what comes naturally to me. So it's actually very difficult for me to, the discussion of styles to use in comics is another subject I love writing about in my blog, about, identity of an artist, and where he comes from, his culture. As for me, I just let it, whatever influence I've had in my life, I guess I just let it influence me subconsciously. I don't let any particular influence me directly. Like, for example, I'm a big fan of David Maspeli and Barry Windsor-Smith, but I don't let those artists influence me directly, if you know what I mean. I don't really try and copy what they're doing, but I think that because I saw their work, and I'm influenced by their work, I love their work. Somehow in the back of my mind, all of those influences, including everything I've pretty much seen in my entire life, all of that is distilled in my brain and through my hands, and it comes out in what I draw, naturally. So it's whatever I do artistically, it's actually very hard for me to describe, because it's pretty much there.
Okay, were you ever thinking of possibly re-releasing the book in color? I mean, after I read the book, I didn't think that it had to be in color. I think that the message through the story was poignant enough that while I was reading it, it was color in my mind, so that was good enough for me. But do you think that maybe you could attract more readers if it was in color?
Perhaps. I haven't really given it that kind of thought before. I knew that I would be drawing it in black and white at the very start. So that pretty much influenced how I drew it. There's lots of lines in it, very much defining shapes and objects and all of the elements in there through the shading and all of the rendering. If I was going to color it, I probably would not have drawn it as so much lines in the first place. But I really haven't given it much thought. But if I'm given the opportunity, perhaps if I'm asked by my publisher to try and draw it, and they will publish it, I'll definitely consider it.
Okay, are there any future projects that you're working on that you'd like to tell us about?
I have this another project that I'm doing after Elmer. It's actually, I worked on this immediately after finishing Elmer a couple of years ago. I'm still on the stage of drawing it. I spent a couple of years doing research and writing the story. And only now, actually, I've started to really draw it. It's a full-color, all-ages story about our national artist here in the Philippines, Dr. Jose Rizal. He was this revolutionary writer back in the Spanish period, whose novels pretty much sparked the Philippine Revolution, which freed us from Spanish rule, which ruled us for like centuries. So I was thinking of writing a story about him, but in a different context. I wanted to reintroduce the hero to new readers, to new Philippine readers, so they could get to know who Jose Rizal is. But I would be approaching it from a science fiction genre, and I would be putting a kind of speculative fiction twist on it, which would hopefully give a bit more interest, make people more interested in it as a comic book.
Okay, how important do you think your Filipino culture is in your style as a writer and an artist?
At first, I wasn't really conscious of doing anything that would show people that I've come from the Philippines. I think that I really shied away from doing an overtly nationalistic thing before, because I believe that whatever I am capable of as a Filipino, it would show in the work I do, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to wave a flag and say, I'm a Filipino, like that. So, I just, whatever I do my best. I try to write it as best as I could, draw it as best as I could. And if it's good, I know I haven't shaved myself sa creator, sa Filipino. But lately, as I'm getting older, I wanted to inject a little bit more of that element into it, more obvious elements of my Filipino culture in it. I guess it's just me growing up a little bit and knowing that I could play around with those kinds of elements. I could not do it before because of just what I said, and because perhaps I wasn't mature enough to tackle it properly. And now I'm kind of more older, and I could probably approach it in a more proper and more responsible way.
Okay, just to get back to Elmer for a couple of questions. If someone was to walk up to you and to approach you and tell you what they got out of the story, and it would be that perfect answer, exactly what you wanted to hear them say, what do you think they would say and why?
I have received a lot of feedback on Elmer from lots of people, and they have actually pointed out to me that they seem to latch on to the father and son relationship, which wasn't really too obvious to me at first. When I was creating the comic book, I thought that I was just writing about kind of a fictional history of chickens, and that the issues that's raised when chickens become humans. But there seems to have been an underlying theme of father and son relationship, which is more obvious than I realized. It's probably a subconscious thing for me, because at the time I was doing it, I was writing and drawing Elmer. I was very concerned about losing my parents because they're getting old, and I'm getting old, and they're getting lots of they're getting sick once in a while. They're getting sick more often, and they need help more often. So the thought of losing them probably in the immediate future was really foremost on my mind. I was very paranoid that I would get a phone call late in the evening and would say something's happened. And during that time, it was really the height of my paranoia that would happen, of the fear of losing my parents. And it made me think about my relationship with my father and all those things that we experienced when I was a child up to now. And in fact, there are a lot of my own memories of my father that's in Elmer. And one of those specific things is my father sharing a can of beer with me when I was very young. I think I was around 7 years old. And I thought, why is my father sharing a can of beer with me? I thought, kids aren't supposed to drink. No, but since my father was very open about it, very open with the idea, then let me just say first that my father is not an alcoholic. he just likes to drink when there's an occasion, like Christmas or whenever, or parties, but not really all the time. I saw that in him, and when he shared that kind of beer with me, it was a kind of a special moment for me. I remember the moment more than I remember the beer. I remember that it's actually quite bitter. And it made me realize that the taste of beer wasn't really for me. So in fact, instead of inspiring me to be a drinker, it inspired me to actually avoid alcohol for most of my life. So that memory of my father sharing that kind of beer with me stuck with me for a long time, because we didn't really share so much of that kind of intimacy before or since. It's very, very rare that we really get to connect that closely. So that seemed to inform what I did on Elmer, my own relationship with my father. And that realization came after I finished the book. I finished writing it, and I thought, wow, I'm actually writing about my father in this book. So that and people seem to respond to it that way. And they responded to me that they saw their own fathers, and they saw their own relationship with their own fathers in that book. So that was very gratifying for me.
Okay, did your mother and father read the book? And if so, what did they think of it?
Yes, unlike my earlier work, Wasted, which I asked them not to read at all, because it's actually quite violent and angry and full of violence and sex. And it was a younger, more angsty, more emo self that did that. But Elmer, I felt like I could share it with them, because in the book, you can see I pretty much dedicated the book to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked, well, you can read this because it's about you. Your chicken's in this book, but it's about you. So they went away and they read it, and they were pretty surprised to see a lot of their own memories in there. Like, my father actually did keep a diary, and in that diary he wrote about losing a brother of mine. Because in our family, I have a brother, but I used to have another brother who died at childbirth. And my dad wrote that in his diary about losing it, and it was pretty traumatic for me reading that as a child. I read that when I was in high school. I was around 13 or 14 years old, and it was pretty traumatic for me to read that. And it's something you can actually see. In Elmer itself, when Jake reads upon what happened when Elmer and May lost a few of their babies in the diary. So it was pretty surprising to my parents what they read there. And since my father is also kind of a writer, he tends more to notice my mistakes. You spell this wrong, or this tense is wrong, this grammar is wrong. That's usually the feedback I get from my dad.
So how did you feel when you found out that you were nominated for an Eisner Award?
It didn't really occur to me. I didn't really associate Eisner with my work at all. It was only a pretty huge surprise to me when my editor, Dan Vado, wrote to me and said, Elmer was nominated for Best New Graphic Album. And it was very, very surprising to me. Because Well, just because. It wasn't really on my radar at all. I didn't know. So I didn't know how to react, except with surprise, and later on, with much happiness. Because I still don't know how to react, actually. So, I guess I'm pretty happy with it. And I'm actually quite glad more, because hopefully it would encourage more people to read the book instead of just passing it over. Oh, it's another chicken book or whatever. If there's one thing this award, this nomination of the Eisner Award, I would like to see result in is more people reading the book, which is what I really wanted to happen in the first place, for more people to read my stories.